This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You are winning two tickets to see Blues Traveler and Big Head Todd, as well as the Monsters, Friday, August 23rd at the Center over at Wolf Trap. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. Congratulations to the winner. We'll be giving these tickets away at 4 o'clock ahead of the Blitz all week long, so make note of that. Show today and every day is sponsored by the law firm of Cundori & Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They're going to help you draft a will, set up a trust, and create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you. You'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. No Danny today. Grant Paulson solo with you, taking you all the way up to 6:15 in Nats baseball. Blitz time. Nats, NFL, Commanders. Let's get to it. We begin with Bobby Blanco of MassinSports.com. Bobby, Mackenzie Gore pitches tonight. Dave Jagler was in studio with me much earlier in this show. We talked about how much Mackenzie's been struggling for the better part of eight starts now. What gives?
Yeah, you can even go back to 10 or 11 starts. He's got an ERA over 6 over those last couple of months, a whip that's super high. And, you know, going into the season after his first couple really strong months where he posted an ERA under 3, the idea was that, okay, if he finishes the season strong by, you know, extending his outings a little bit, you know, he always got beat with high pitch counts. And then we were trying to figure out if he can get his pitch count down, maybe get deeper into the game, this would be a pretty solid campaign for Mackenzie Gore. And, yeah, he's just been getting kind of lit up over the past couple of months. He needs to get the ball down a little bit more. Not to worry too much about strikeouts. I don't think he really does, but we all know that his strikeout numbers are very high and very good. But I think the quicker outs are what he needs to really focus on moving forward so he can stay in the game a little bit longer, rely on his defense, not get too high of a pitch count, and pitch deeper into games. I think that's the biggest factor moving forward. These are a big couple of months for Mackenzie to finish the season because he has had a season that's been basically split in half of really good and pretty bad. So how he finishes the season is going to be big for the Nationals and their rotation moving forward.
James Wood has hit in 5 in a row and 8 of 9. He's been on base in 10 straight. What do you make of the 21-year-old here lately? Last 7 games for James Wood, he's hitting .350.
Yeah, I think it's also him hitting with runners in scoring position. He's hitting like .300 when guys are on base and able to score for him when he's at the plate. I think that the where he's hitting in the lineup, sometimes as high as 3, no lower than 5, is good for him. Davey's putting him in good situations to drive in runs and be the big bat that the Nationals have waited for him to be. I think that what we're seeing right now, especially specifically at the plate with James, that the Nationals' patience with him this season is definitely paying off. I know he had the injury that delayed his debut earlier in the year, and he probably would have debuted sooner had he not had that hamstring issue. But I think waiting until July to bring him up, even though we were all you know, begging for him to come up at some point to help this team out, is kind of showing that, you know, he is adjusting well to the major league level. He faced really some good pitching in AAA, you know, major league guys, fringe major leaguers as well. So he had a good idea of how pitchers want to attack him. And, you know, he did have a little bit of a stretch where he was kind of in a slump after his first, like, really good week up here. And he's kind of made the adjustment back to what pitchers have adjusted to him. So I think that's important to see from a young guy, and that he's becoming one of the more dangerous bats in this lineup, and driving in runs for them. Hopefully he can get the ball in the air a little bit more, because we've seen them, you know, he hits them so fast and hard. If he can loft them a little bit, we're going to see that ball fly out of the yard more often than not.
Patrick Corbin pitched last night, and there was a moment in the third inning where his ERA had hopped over 6, and it looked like his 6.31 ERA from 2022 is in his sights. He might be able to catch it, but he's now back down to 5.88. He does have a chance to lead the league in losses for a fourth straight year. He'd be the third pitcher to ever do that. Stretch run here of this contract for Corbin. Your thoughts on where we're at with Pat?
Yeah, we're down to the last 8 to 10 starts for Patrick Corbin. You know, mapping it out, he'll probably have around that many starts, maybe less if the Nationals at some point decide to go to a 6-man rotation. I know injuries have kind of not limited him in them doing that, so he might have to go as many as 10 probably down the stretch, but maybe less. And I know Nationals fans are kind of counting them down, so we can kind of move past this situation that, you know, for as great as 2019 was, has definitely, you know, not really panned out the way anyone wanted to over these past couple of seasons. But I think, you know, Davey Martinez always mentions how much Corbin gives them innings, gives them length. You know, takes the ball every 5 days. He doesn't really battle injuries. So you got to give him some credit for that. And I think it's easy to jump on Patrick, you know, especially after the outing in Arizona, where he became the first Nationals pitcher to give up 11 runs in an outing, you know, and the track record and everything. It's easy to put him down after, you know, 2 home runs last night. But I think we have to give him some credit for finishing 6 innings last night and only giving up 4 runs. Ended up striking out 6 as well. And I think you look at that 4-1 loss, you got to think it was more the Nationals not scoring for him. I mean, they only put up 1 run and left like 9 guys on base. So I think given everything with Patrick Corbin, last night was probably as good as you're going to get at this point. And it's kind of more on the offense to do something at that point and put the team more in a better chance to win. But like I said, there's only like 8 or 10 of these left. So I think everyone's kind of just counting down so both sides can kind of move forward.
Bobby, good catching up. We'll see you over at the ballpark. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, thanks, JP. Have a good one.
Yeah, be good. Let's talk football. Our buddy Mark Schofield of SB Nation joins us now on the Beltway Blitz. Mark, why don't we begin with the second day in a row of tussles between the Lions and the Giants. I mean, do they think they're playing some UFC mixed martial arts matchup or something in this joint practice?
Well, I mean, guys, it's great to be back with you. And I think this is what we typically see when we get into these joint practices, which is players have been grown wary of beating up on each other. You know, it's hot out there. Guys are fighting for jobs. And I think that's an important aspect to this, because more and more we're seeing coaching staffs use these joint practice sessions as sort of another way to evaluate players for roster spots, for position battles, especially when we're seeing a lot of players sort of not play in the preseason games themselves. Teams are using these joint practice sessions as another measuring stick for the players on their roster, which ups the intensity. So I'm not surprised that we're seeing scuffles between the Lions and the Giants. We're going to get more joint practice sessions as training camps roll on. We're going to see more of these going forward, because the players know that these are some, for some of them, this is where they win or lose a roster spot. This is where they win or lose a job.
The Brandon Ayuk trade market has heated back up. Adam Schefter saying today that the 49ers are absolutely talking with teams about a deal. Do you think Ayuk gets traded?
I do think he gets traded now. If you would have asked me this question, say, 2 weeks ago, I would have said, no, they're going to find a way to get this done. He's an important part of their offense, means a ton to what they do in the passing game. You could make a case where, as talented as Deebo Samuel is, but because he's used in different positions on the field, Ayuk might be their best pure receiver. But the longer this is dragged on, and the fact that, you know, a couple weeks ago it seemed like the Steelers were out, now it seems like they've really emerged again as serious contenders for a trade in the last, say, 12 to 24 hours, I do think that we're leaning towards Brandon Ayuk being elsewhere come week 1. Kyle Shanahan just met with the media in the last hour. said that, you know, these things do take some time. They'd like to see it get resolved. But it's almost a softening of the language from Coach Shanahan, where he's saying, instead of, you know, we want him back, it's now, you know, he's a great player. We would like to have him here, but these things take some time. All of this leads me to believe that a trade's going to get done.
The Commanders have reportedly pulled themselves from the sweepstakes. Do you think that's smart for them?
I think they should try to get back in, and here's why. One of the things, one of the trends we're seeing around the league is players, quarterbacks being reunited with players they played with in college, with receivers they played with in college, because it helps you build that chemistry. And these two, Brandon Ayuk, Jaden Daniels, spent some time together at Arizona State. I think if there's an opportunity to give a young quarterback a receiver he might have some built-in chemistry with, you pursue every avenue to get a deal like that done. So if I'm the Commanders, if I'm in the room, I'm saying, look, let's get back on the phone. Let's call Kyle. Let's call John Lynch. Let's see if we can get a deal done. Because if you could reunite these two, I think it would be huge for young Jaden Daniels in his rookie season.
Is Bo Nix going to end up starting for the Denver Broncos?
I do believe he will. I know they released their sort of unofficial depth chart where they had him at QB3. Bo Nix was built in a lab to play quarterback for Sean Payton. He's that paint-by-numbers QB with some athleticism and arm talent, but Sean Payton wants somebody that's going to run his offense. That's why he turned to Jared Stidham. That's why there was that fractured relationship with Russell Wilson. I think Bo Nix is the perfect quarterback for Sean Payton, and I would be very surprised if he is not their week one starter.
Mark Schofield of SB Nation. Why isn't Bryce Young playing in the preseason opener? He's healthy, right?
He is healthy. I was very surprised when Dave Canales came out and said that because, you know, second-year quarterback, there's a lot of expectations. He needs to take a big step forward, and he's learning the new offense. I would want to see him at least get some preseason game reps. I'm surprised they're going this route. But, again, this could be another indication that, you know, coaching staffs are going to use these joint practices as sort of a substitute for those preseason game reps where it's a more controlled environment. But if it were me, I'd get him in some games to let him learn that offense as quickly as he can.
What team do you think is better than it's getting national credit for right now?
I mean, that's tough to sort of think about. But one team that I'm really sort of keeping an eye on, I don't know if they're going to make like a playoff run or anything like that, is Arizona. We just heard that Kyler Murray in a similar vein is not going to be playing in the preseason. But they've added some talent around him. That team is a little bit better than we thought they were going to be. Now you've got Murray fully healthy coming into this year. I love pairing him with Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know if they're going to make sort of a surprise and playoff push or anything like that. But it wouldn't surprise me if we get to, say, the holidays and we see those teams in the playoff hunt graphics on Fox and CBS and everything. And they're in the mix because I think they're going to be better than people expect.
How about the flip side of that? Team that everybody seems to like that you don't really understand.
It's not so much that I don't understand the love for the Houston Texans right now. I do. I love what they've done these past, you know, obviously with CJ Stroud, the year he had last season, as well as the way they've built around him. But it's going to be a little bit tougher for them this year because, one, they're not going to sneak up on anybody. Two, they get that first-place schedule, which is going to be tough. They're going to have some tougher games this year as they did a season ago. And that division looks to be tough, too. I expect Jacksonville to sort of rebound. I kind of expect Indianapolis to take a step forward if they get Anthony Richardson fully healthy for a season. I think he was similar to the Bo Nix discussion. He's a perfect pairing for Shane Steichen and what he wants to do on offense. So I think things are going to be a bit tougher for the Texans than they were a year ago.
All right, last one, back to the rookie quarterback category. When do we see Drake May in New England?
We might have to wait some time because the rumblings out of Foxborough are that, one, Jacoby Brissett has looked really good, so he's probably going to be your week one starter, and two, that May's taken some time to get acclimated to the pro game, taking some time to get up to speed. There have been reports that Joe Milton, the rookie that they drafted in the sixth round, has outshined Drake May. Now, I wouldn't read too much into that. But I do think May's a little bit behind schedule, and they're going to bring him along slowly. They know that this is sort of a transition year for the Patriots. They're not expecting huge things. And they drafted Drake May to be their starting quarterback for the next 10 years, not the next 10 weeks. So they're going to bring him along slowly if they have to. It's why they got Jacoby Brissett. So I think it might be week four, week five, week eight kind of situation with Drake May. Probably not a week one situation.
Mark Schofield, check him out. SB Nation does such a good job bouncing around the NFL with us. Thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
Great catching up. Have a great week.
Yeah, be well. Let's keep the blitz moving. And localize the NFL combo with our own Earl Forsey, who's keeping you up to speed with everything going on in sports today every 30 minutes Earl, do you find yourself having a hard time not getting excited with the hype on Jaden Daniels, who's been outstanding at camp?
Not at all, Grant, because I've been telling you guys, and I know the other part of Granny is not there, the other part of Grant and Danny today, but I've been telling you guys all summer that it's okay to be excited about Jaden Daniels. He is that good. He's as good, if not better, than anyone we have seen here in the last 30 years, and that includes RG3, 2012. I think he's the real deal. I don't think it's bad to get. Look, I just put out a tweet as well that, you know, this whole thing where he was named QB1 today and it's just an unofficial depth chart. Come on, people. I mean, wake up. Marcus Mariota is your other option. And I put out a tweet with the James Harden, you know, when he gives that look and he walks away like, are you kidding me? Anyone questioning who the starting quarterback is going to be for this team, if you have any questions about it, you should just find another occupation or find another sport to be a fan of. This guy is locked in as number one. And I know these things don't always work out, but this is the best option they have had at quarterback in three decades. And they won, if we want to, you know, go back to the good old days, they didn't have, look, Theismann was an MVP, I know. And Doug Williams was a former number one pick, but wasn't that guy when he got to D.C. And Mark Rippon was just another guy that Gibbs developed. They didn't have those guys at quarterback. They've never had those guys here at quarterback. Sonny, you know, was a leftover when they traded for him, and you know, from Philadelphia. So they don't have Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. They don't have Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. This has not been that franchise. This guy could be. There should be a lot of excitement because they won four games last year. They sucked. Ron Rivera is gone. Be excited, please.
Back to the quarterback unofficial depth chart, Dan Quinn comment from earlier today. Yeah. Look, it goes without saying. You're preaching to the converted here when you say that Jaden Daniels is going to start. There's never been one split second.
Yeah, you
where
just
that...
talked to someone. Drake May, you know, has not looked as good as the other guy they picked, Milton. You know, so be happy. It's been very quiet,
question.
Very
here's
status quo, and better than expected. Yeah.
Do you find this game to be frustrating? Like, if Rivera was doing this, we'd be eviscerating it. Why are they doing this bit? Just
I don't
name
know.
Him the
I
starter.
Mean, because I think Dan Quinn's trying to, you know, for whatever it's worth, trying to set the standard. This is the way it's going to be. Everybody's going to compete, whatever. Everybody knows what time it is. Grant, if you're there, there's not a player on that field that does. He did today as well. He goes, oh, you know, Marcus looked pretty good too. Has he? Not from what some of the stuff I've heard. I have not been out there, obviously, but I saw him play in the NFL. He hasn't been good since Oregon, okay?
I have been out there. You're not missing much.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's there because, Grant, he's a former number two Heisman winner. He's that guy that Jaden Daniels is now. He's there for guidance, if nothing else. I don't know. I don't know why they're doing it, but I don't think it really matters, Grant. It doesn't matter
it won't
until
eventually.
They trot out, the guys walk on the field when the opening series for week one. That's when it matters. Not right now.
Last one, got less than a minute here. Earl Forsey covering the Commanders on our blitz. Does GM
I'm
going to
talk
Forsey,
for more than a minute.
Does GM Earl Forsey trade for Brandon Ayuk?
Yes, I would love to. And you saw now the new report that I just gave at Schefter putting out today that now, you know, Pittsburgh is re-engaged. And I tweeted out on top of the Schefter tweet a little while ago that, see, I always thought when I heard this thing late last night that, well, it's down to the Patriots and the Browns. He doesn't want to play for those two teams. Who wants to play in New England right now? He wants to be with his buddy, Jaden Daniels, here in D.C., or wants to play for Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. So to me, that was San Fran's putting out there that, you know, we're close to dealing them to the other teams. Windows starting to close. Make your best offer. So now Pittsburgh's re-engaged. It would be expensive, yes, but whatever. Yeah, the more good players you can bring in here, the better. And Adam Peters was in that building, so if he would think it's worth it, I'm on board with him. Yes.
Earl, love it. Thanks, buddy.
Yep. All right, man. Keeping you up to date on Olympics.
Yeah, back to I got women's volleyball on here in the studio. The Americans are playing the Swiss.
Grant, it's done.
It's over already?
Yes.
Who wins?
Women, you're watching women against France?
No, I'm not talking about soccer. Women's volleyball. It says it's live.
Volleyball against, okay, that was, I think, this weekend, Grant.
No, no, USA France. Swiss. It says right now it's happening.
Women's volleyball today beat Poland in three sets. It's over. I don't know what you're watching on TV.
The doubles volleyball. USA Swiss.
Oh, you're what? That's beach volleyball. That's different.
Beach. Okay, thank you. I'm about to.
So they can show the Eiffel Tower in the background.
I'm like, what the hell is...
No, that's a different thing. I don't have time for that.
All right.
Two more golds on track, and the U.S. basketball team's opening things up pretty easy against Brazil. That's it.
Chopping wood. Jahan Dotson, I caught up with him out at practice today. You will hear that conversation next on G&D right here on The Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Do you guys realize that the Chicago White Sox have lost 21 straight baseball games? This is actually so funny. Their most recent win was closer to the day the Celtics won the NBA Finals than today. They play almost every day. Now, there was an All-Star break in there. Their record right now is 27-88, a .235 winning percentage. They're on pace over 162 to win 38 baseball games. Some quick math, 162 minus 38, that's 124 losses. This is one of the worst teams in the history of baseball. No one should be able to lose 21 in a row. If me, Ryan, Darris, Anthony, and five guys from the station put a team together, we could lose 21 in a row because we can't hit or pitch or field or do anything that you need to do. Big league professional baseball players, and not all of them are true big leaguers, but pros, you should just accidentally win one every now and then. And it's not like they don't have any big league talent. They've lost 21 consecutive games after losing to the A's last night, on the verge of setting the American League record for losses in a row with their next loss.
Which is 23, I believe?
No, they have tied the American League record.
Oh, my goodness.
So they will set the record, I guess, potentially, tonight when they play the A's at 9:40. And what's funny is, remember, the A's was the team coming into the year that everybody said, that team's dreadful, don't pay to see them play. The A's are actually frisky. They're fun. They score runs. They're pretty good lately. They're bad overall, but they've been playing okay baseball. This is the team you'd want to play, and they 5-1 Chicago last night.
I came across this from Bleacher Report Betting. It says if you bet $100 on the White Sox to lose back on July 10th,
oh,
and then
this.
Rolled that over each day, betting for the White Sox to lose, at this moment, you'd be up $765,000 right now.
Just rolling over your winnings.
Correct, yes.
A lot of people this year decided every game they were going to bet against the A's. They should have done that against the White Sox. That would have been the play. But my God, is their rebuild just gone disastrously. So if you're a frustrated Nats fan, think about White Sox fans in a major market where they care about baseball. Just gross, the product they're putting on the field. All right, let's get to Jahan Dotson. I caught up with him at training camp. He had a disappointing year last year. Not White Sox bad, but it wasn't good. And he knows that. He's trying to make amends, and he wants to make sure that last year is the outlier in his career. It's not a regression that becomes the norm. As a rookie, he looked like he was on his way to stardom. There were some silly geese in this town. One of them is a portly bearded fellow with two thumbs who's talking to you right now, who said he was going to go out and catch 70 balls and go for 1,000 yards as a sophomore. And then Jahan Dotson didn't do that. He got really close, though. It wasn't 70 catches. Like, not 70. It was 49. And it wasn't 1,000 yards. It was close. It was 518. But the point is, not that I was so wrong, the loudest, wrongest I've been on anything in a long time, but that Jahan Dotson dropped passes. He just didn't look like he was as involved as he should have been by way of Eric Bieniemy. Sam Howell didn't make him a priority. But when he got his shots, he didn't really excel. I still believe in the player. I've lowered my ceiling for him. I've lowered my bar for what he's eventually going to be. But I think he can help them. He's still an outstanding slot player who could be a decent number two. And he's a critical player for Jaden Daniels' development. You've got McLaurin, who's a steady Eddie contributor. You know he's going to play like a number one. You need more weapons to help elevate your kid QB. Dotson's the next guy in line. This was my convo with him on how training camp has gone so far.
How do you feel about the tone and the tempo?
Yeah, it's been really cool getting to know the offense, getting to learn the ins and outs of the offense, and being able to execute at a high level out here. Really looking forward to going against the Jets in this joint practice and competing against a different face. It's going to be awesome.
How do you compare the joint practice to the game in terms of effectiveness and helpfulness to you as a player?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a competitive thing at the end of the day, getting to go against a new face. Especially early in the season like this, where everything is almost brand new. But, you know, you're putting it out. It's fun, honestly. It's fun just to compete and go at it with guys.
I'm fired up for you to just get a fresh start this year and get this thing rolling again, right?
Yeah.
When you look back at last year, I don't know if you do, how often you do, what are your thoughts? And then coming into this season, how different is everything for you kind of taking flight again?
Yeah, it's a lot different. It's almost like night and day last year to this year. And it's something that I won't forget because it wasn't my standard. I didn't live up to my standard, the ability that I know I can play at. And I don't blame that on anyone but myself. So, you know, I attacked it this offseason to make sure that this season I do so. And I make the plays that I know that I can make.
Which is admirable and professional, but there's so much out of your control at receiver.
Right.
I mean, is that just something you can't allow to creep into your mindset?
100%. You got to control what you control. That goes for everything in life. Control what you control and make the most out of it. At the end of the day, you know, I'm blessed to play this game. I'm blessed to be out here doing what I love to do every day. So I'm just trying to make the most of it.
Just a couple. Jaden gives you a ceiling now, maybe at quarterback, that you've always dreamed about and that receivers salivate over. It's hard to tell right now, but how often do you find yourself thinking about, if you guys are linked together here for years, what that could look like?
Yeah, it's really cool to think about. But right now, you know, we're just thinking about today, tomorrow, making sure that we build that relationship and gain the trust that we need to know that we're able to make plays on Sundays. So, right now it's just not too much getting to know each other, but creating that chemistry on the field, making sure that we know where each other is going to be at, and when he wants the ball out, when he's going to, where he wants the ball to be, where he wants me to be. It's building the chemistry.
Do you set a statistical goal for yourself? Even like Amon-Ra St. Brown, I saw on the receivers Netflix thing, has his own set things in his locker. Do you do anything like that?
Not really, no. I'm just always trying to be better than I was last. That's a big thing for me. I have some goals. I have them written down in my notebook, but those are for me, you know. I'll share those with you guys at the end of the season. Hopefully I exceed those to the max, and make a name for myself.
Lastly, what would you tell fans about just the work you guys are putting in as they get ready to see you guys for the first time on Saturday?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. You're going to get a little preview.
Very minimal preview.
But yeah, it's going to be fun. We can't wait to get out there and compete. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to play our hearts out, because that's what this team is made about.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
I've always been impressed with Jahan Dotson since right after he was drafted and we had him on for the first time. Terrific guy to talk to, just an impressive young man. And I'm pulling for him to bounce back this year, because you know last year had to be brutal on him. But it's also really important for this organization that Jahan Dotson can get back to playing more along the lines of how he did as a rookie. Because if last year is going to be the norm, and that is what you're getting from him, then not only did you miss in the first round at 16 when you drafted him, but you're in the market for wide receiver. And you massively now need to go find an upgrade. It's a significant, major dilemma going forward with your rookie contract quarterback to have, rather than just McLaurin and a bunch of down the depth chart guys, you need to go out and get another X factor. You need to go out and get a player who can stretch out defenses and really give coordinators fits. Which brings us to the Brandon Ayuk news of the day, which we have not really gotten into in much detail. Adam Schefter has changed the game with some of his reporting today. And his colleague in Boston, who covers the Patriots, Mike Reese, had a lot of this as well. But the San Francisco 49ers are now willing to trade Brandon Ayuk, according to Adam Schefter. The Niners are listening to trade offers for Ayuk, and they have given him permission to negotiate a contract with other teams. This is a significant development from the last several weeks, where I was downplaying and kind of saying this wasn't going to happen. I think a lot of people viewed what was going on as just Ayuk agitating for a trade, because he's not the first guy to want out of a situation and act a little bit like a fool to get there, right? You got to throw your tantrum to get your attention sometimes. The squeaky wheel will get the oil occasionally in the National Football League. And with the Niners, when guys have agitated and held out and demanded their money, they've gotten it. And Ayuk has seen that while he was there. And this is what he's trying to accomplish. Well, I think San Francisco, after drafting a wide receiver in round one, having enough weapons, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, Christian McCaffrey, and a quarterback they really like who's played at a top five statistical level, whatever you think of Brock Purdy, who's on a fast track, driving in the HOV Easy Pass lane towards $60, $65 million a year in a couple of seasons as the top of the market paid QB, even if you think that's ridiculous. I think they're deciding we're probably not going to pay Brandon Ayuk the $30 million. So rather than just keeping him around all season because we're in desperation mode and we've got to win right now, we've got to win the Super Bowl before we pay Brock Purdy. That's their mindset. And that's why me and so many other people said, they're not trading Brandon Ayuk. This is a got-to-have-it year for them. They've actually, according to Schefter, now opened the phones back up, reached out to teams and said, hey, we actually are thinking about trading this guy, so submit your offers. And by the way, if you want to talk to Brandon and try to get an extension in place, go for it. Because that's what makes this so difficult. That's the part of this trade that's so hard to execute. If you're an interested team, you don't just have to meet the asking price of the 49ers. You've got to do that, and then you've got to meet Brandon Ayuk's asking price financially. So you've got to get a deal in place with San Francisco from trade compensation standpoint, which might mean a veteran receiver and picks. That might mean Jahan Dotson and picks. That might mean De'Ami Brown and a better package of picks. But then you also have to have Ayuk willing to come to your building. We know here in D.C., because Jaden Daniels is his boy, and Washington is the team that he was flirting with so publicly and trying to get to, it seemed like, that he actually would want to play for the Commanders. It's super easy to just get a deal done with San Fran or get a deal done with Ayuk. It's really hard to do both. And he's got a lot of leverage here, which is going to make this complicated. But the rumors are that the New England Patriots are a player in this, that the Pittsburgh Steelers have a chance to get him, maybe the Cleveland Browns in the conversation. But Washington, the fourth of the four teams that has allegedly talked to the Niners in this process, have backed out. That's the report today. That's what we've heard. This is Mike Garofalo on the Ayuk scenario today, just recently on NFL Network.
He is still a member of the 49ers. I continue to say that I feel like we're getting closer to a resolution. We are just not there yet. You saw the reports that came out about the Browns and the Patriots having the framework of a deal in place with the 49ers. You also heard some talk that the Steelers were out of this one. In talking to sources all over this one, I would say that my feeling is nobody is out of this. I don't know that there's a lead dog right now. Ian, you called it fluid. I continue to say that, yes, it is extremely fluid. At some point, somebody's got to blink here. And Ayuk seems to have a pecking order for where he wants to wind up. He's not a free agent. He's under contract. But he's using as much leverage as he could possibly create with this hold-in that he's got going.
I know that we're told Washington's out. But you know that Ayuk would want to come here. You know that he's super tight with your quarterback. You know that Adam Peters has more ties and is more plugged in San Francisco than any of the other executives that are in this ongoing sweepstakes. If Washington really wants Ayuk, they could get this done. I don't think they do, or else it would be done. But if they wanted to trade for him, it seems like they could pretty easily. Based on Schefter saying today, the 49ers are open for business. Over the last 24 hours, maybe they've had a change of mind or just there's no progress being made and they want to end this holdout, hold in, as it were. My question for you guys is, first of all, why do you think Washington supposedly is out on Ayuk? Why do you think they've pulled themselves out of the conversation? 800-636-1067. And do you agree with the decision to do so? Or if you were the GM, you were Adam Peters, would you get back in and make an offer and try to make this happen? 800-636-1067 is the number. On the MGM National Harbor listener lines, looking forward to hearing from you next on Grant and Danny.
I think they should try to get back in, and here's why. One of the things, one of the trends we're seeing around the league is players, quarterbacks being reunited with players they played with in college, with receivers they played with in college, because it helps you build that chemistry. And these two, Brandon Ayuk, Jaden Daniels, spent some time together at Arizona State. I think if there's an opportunity to give a young quarterback a receiver he might have some built-in chemistry with, you pursue every avenue to get a deal like that done. So if I'm the Commanders, if I'm in the room, I'm saying, look, let's get back on the phone. Let's call Kyle. Let's call John Lynch. Let's see if we can get a deal done. Because if you could reunite these two, I think it would be huge for young Jaden Daniels in his rookie season.
That was Mark Schofield, who joined us on our Beltway Blitz, discussing Brandon Ayuk and the Washington Commanders. So there's all kinds of reports surfacing today. I want to work our way through those right now. We'll open up the phones on Ayuk, Washington, and a San Francisco trade now at 800-636-1067. Scott Pioli, who's made some trades. He was a former GM, Super Bowl champion, worked with Belichick in New England. Pioli on the show, top of the hour, 10 minutes from now, right at 5 o'clock. So make sure you're listening at that time. Here's what you need to know. Over the last 48 hours, it's become pretty clear that San Francisco is growing tired of the Ayuk stalemate, that they have gone from seemingly planning on keeping him, hoping to get a deal in place, worst case scenario, having him play all season long, helping them try to win a Super Bowl, and then moving on next offseason, to a point where now, for the first time, it sounds like he's going to be traded. They have reached back out to teams, reportedly. Adam Schefter, among others, on this. So this is, you know, credible, legit powerhouse reporters saying this, to tell teams that they're open for business on Ayuk. They've told Ayuk that he can negotiate a contract with other teams if he so chooses. So Pittsburgh, Cleveland, New England, Washington, those are the four teams most linked to San Fran, all of a sudden popped back up, and we've heard that the Commanders are the one team that took themselves out of the running. Now, that was not from Schefter or Rappaport or anybody like that. So I guess it's possible that's not gospel, though it certainly doesn't seem like anything's imminent on the Washington front. My point is just if they want him, they can have him. I don't think they want to pay the price. If it really does take a veteran wideout, maybe that's Dotson. Let's say that's too rich and it's more like Deami Brown or something like that. You know, non-Terry, non-Dotson, there's nobody else in the receiver room that means a ton to you long-term. You just drafted McCaffrey, so he would be presumably not the guy. Although, wouldn't that be funny if San Francisco wanted to link the brothers together? But to put a wide receiver in the deal with picks and then pay a guy $30 million, you better be sure you're getting a top-of-the-league wideout. And Ayuk's been great. Statistically awesome the last couple years. Second-team All-Pro this past year. But he's done it without all the attention on him because everyone's keying in on Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk as well. And he's in a scheme with the number one play caller and designer in football. What is he without all of that help? That's what you got to bake into the equation. Let's go to Chris, who's in Richmond, listening in Richmond on 9:10 a.m. Chris, I want to know, what would you do if you were GM?
I tell you what I would do is I would definitely pass on this Brandon Ayuk trade because, for one, he seems like a bit of a diva, and I will question his, like, commitment. And obviously the price has got to be a little too high for the Commanders. Let's say you can't work out a deal because they're obviously looking for a veteran wide receiver. If you can't get McLaurin, I think that's probably their asking price. They want McLaurin and a second-round pick. But the 49ers are also having an issue right now with the offensive line. So maybe the San Francisco 49ers are asking for somebody like Cosby in return because they're dealing with a holdout with Trent Williams as well, who also came over from Washington and has been very productive.
Well, he's been great. He's the best left tackle in football. I don't want to play fantasy football, so I'm going to cut you off at the pass there. And I don't want to start saying, well, throw in a lineman, and that, like, that's not what we're doing here. The one report, and the only reason I give it any credence that's out there, and we don't know if it's true or not, but some credible people have suggested, Matt Maiocco covers the Niners in San Fran and gets a lot of news out there, has said his sources are telling him the Niners would do this deal if they could get a wide receiver back to cushion the Ayuk blow. Essentially, someone they could plug in at wide receiver right away. I don't think it'd be McLaurin. I think that's too steep. I think if you're looking at this depth chart, it'd probably more along the lines of Dotson. Someone that Shanahan feels like he could get more out of than we've seen so far as a producer in the league. But it would be a player and picks, or if not a player, probably a lot of picks, and then you're paying the player $30 million. Let's go to Chris in Tacoma Park on G&D. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Terry. That's why they're saying it's a no-go. I mean, I'm willing to part with Dotson or anybody else, just like any other Commander fan. But, you know, I mean, I think you look at a combination of, number one, what is McLaurin's AAV versus what they'd have to pay Ayuk. Number two, he's what, 29 years old now? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's 29. He wants to go to a winner now, so it would be attractive to Terry, but there's no way. There's no way this team's going to part with him. I'm sure that was the ask.
28 for another, like, 30 days, I guess, technically. McLaurin, the first week of the season, turns 29. If that's the ask, it doesn't make sense. The reason you go get Ayuk is that you're trying to add a weapon. You're trying to go from being okay at wide receiver to really good. Replacing McLaurin with Ayuk is essentially getting you right back where you started. Ayuk is younger and a little more explosive. I would say a hair better. You know, you're going from, I'm just making up numbers on the fly. I haven't done the rankings, but let's say the 15th or 16th best wide receiver in the league in McLaurin to the 12th or 13th best wide receiver in Ayuk. It's a minimal upgrade, and there's certainly a familiarity between Jaden Daniels and Brandon Ayuk, but you're not trading McLaurin. He's the face of your franchise. He's everything that's right about this locker room, this organization. He's a culture builder. You would supplement McLaurin with Ayuk, and then you've strengthened the position and elevated your young quarterback. That's the whole point. So, yeah, it wouldn't make any sense to do that at all. But Peters, first-time general manager, the fact that this is the Niners, it's a guy that he was involved with drafting, developing, a player he knows intimately, and the staff that he's worked hand-in-hand with, it just makes it so much more fascinating. It makes the storyline that much more sexy. That, and of course, that you've got Jaden Daniels and Brandon Ayuk being best friends and fairly inseparable during the offseason. Next, we'll talk to Scott Pioli, who's made plenty of his own trades in the past. Former GM, a Super Bowl champion with the Patriots, stops by. Grant and Danny, no Danny on the Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they should try to get back in, and here's why. One of the trends we're seeing around the league is players, quarterbacks being reunited with players they played with in college, with receivers they played with in college, because it helps you build that chemistry. And these two, Brandon Ayuk, Jaden Daniels, spent some time together at Arizona State. I think if there's an opportunity to give a young quarterback a receiver he might have some built-in chemistry with, you pursue every avenue to get a deal like that done. So if I'm the Commanders, if I'm in the room, I'm saying, look, let's get back on the phone. Let's call Kyle. Let's call John Lynch. Let's see if we can get a deal done. Because if you could reunite these two, I think it would be huge for young Jaden Daniels in his rookie season.
That was Mark Schofield, who joined us on our Beltway Blitz, discussing Brandon Ayuk and the Washington Commanders. So there's all kinds of reports surfacing today. I want to work our way through those right now. We'll open up the phones on Ayuk, Washington, and a San Francisco trade now at 800-636-1067. Scott Pioli, who's made some trades. He was a former GM, Super Bowl champion, worked with Belichick in New England. Pioli on the show, top of the hour, 10 minutes from now, right at 5 o'clock. So make sure you're listening at that time. Here's what you need to know. Over the last 48 hours, it's become pretty clear that San Francisco is growing tired of the Ayuk stalemate, that they have gone from seemingly planning on keeping him, hoping to get a deal in place, worst case scenario, having him play all season long, helping them try to win a Super Bowl, and then moving on next offseason, to a point where now, for the first time, it sounds like he's going to be traded. They have reached back out to teams, reportedly. Adam Schefter, among others, on this. So this is, you know, credible, legit powerhouse reporters saying this, to tell teams that they're open for business on Ayuk. They've told Ayuk that he can negotiate a contract with other teams if he so chooses. So Pittsburgh, Cleveland, New England, Washington, those are the four teams most linked to San Fran, all of a sudden popped back up, and we've heard that the Commanders are the one team that took themselves out of the running. Now, that was not from Schefter or Rappaport or anybody like that. So I guess it's possible that's not gospel, though it certainly doesn't seem like anything's imminent on the Washington front. My point is just if they want him, they can have him. I don't think they want to pay the price. If it really does take a veteran wideout, maybe that's Dotson. Let's say that's too rich and it's more like Deami Brown or something like that. You know, non-Terry, non-Dotson, there's nobody else in the receiver room that means a ton to you long-term. You just drafted McCaffrey, so he would be presumably not the guy. Although, wouldn't that be funny if San Francisco wanted to link the brothers together? But to put a wide receiver in the deal with picks and then pay a guy $30 million, you better be sure you're getting a top-of-the-league wideout. And Ayuk's been great. Statistically awesome the last couple years. Second-team All-Pro this past year. But he's done it without all the attention on him because everyone's keying in on Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk as well. And he's in a scheme with the number one play caller and designer in football. What is he without all of that help? That's what you got to bake into the equation. Let's go to Chris, who's in Richmond, listening in Richmond on 9:10 a.m. Chris, I want to know, what would you do if you were GM?
I tell you what I would do is I would definitely pass on this Brandon Ayuk trade because, for one, he seems like a bit of a diva, and I will question his, like, commitment. And obviously the price has got to be a little too high for the Commanders. Let's say you can't work out a deal because they're obviously looking for a veteran wide receiver. If you can't get McLaurin, I think that's probably their asking price. They want McLaurin and a second-round pick. But the 49ers are also having an issue right now with the offensive line. So maybe the San Francisco 49ers are asking for somebody like Cosby in return because they're dealing with a holdout with Trent Williams as well, who also came over from Washington and has been very productive.
Well, he's been great. He's the best left tackle in football. I don't want to play fantasy football, so I'm going to cut you off at the pass there. And I don't want to start saying, well, throw in a lineman, and that, like, that's not what we're doing here. The one report, and the only reason I give it any credence that's out there, and we don't know if it's true or not, but some credible people have suggested, Matt Maiocco covers the Niners in San Fran and gets a lot of news out there, has said his sources are telling him the Niners would do this deal if they could get a wide receiver back to cushion the Ayuk blow. Essentially, someone they could plug in at wide receiver right away. I don't think it'd be McLaurin. I think that's too steep. I think if you're looking at this depth chart, it'd probably more along the lines of Dotson. someone that Shanahan feels like he could get more out of than we've seen so far as a producer in the league. But it would be a player and picks, or if not a player, probably a lot of picks, and then you're paying the player $30 million. Let's go to Chris in Tacoma Park on G&D. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Terry. That's why they're saying it's a no-go. I mean, I'm willing to part with Dotson or anybody else, just like any other Commander fan. But, you know, I mean, I think you look at a combination of, number one, what is McLaurin's AAV versus what they'd have to pay Ayuk? Number two, he's what, 29 years old now? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's 29. He wants to go to a winner now, so it would be attractive to Terry, but there's no way. There's no way this team's going to part with him. I'm sure that was the ask.
28 for another, like, 30 days, I guess, technically. McLaurin, the first week of the season, turns 29. If that's the ask, it doesn't make sense. The reason you go get Ayuk is that you're trying to add a weapon. You're trying to go from being okay at wide receiver to really good. Replacing McLaurin with Ayuk is essentially getting you right back where you started. Ayuk is younger and a little more explosive. I would say a hair better. You know, you're going from, I'm just making up numbers on the fly. I haven't done the rankings, but let's say the 15th or 16th best wide receiver in the league in McLaurin to the 12th or 13th best wide receiver in Ayuk. It's a minimal upgrade, and there's certainly a familiarity between Jaden Daniels and Brandon Ayuk, but you're not trading McLaurin. He's the face of your franchise. He's everything that's right about this locker room, this organization. He's a culture builder. You would supplement McLaurin with Ayuk, and then you've strengthened the position and elevated your young quarterback. That's the whole point. So, yeah, it wouldn't make any sense to do that at all. But Peters, first-time general manager, the fact that this is the Niners, it's a guy that he was involved with drafting, developing, a player he knows intimately, and the staff that he's worked hand-in-hand with, it just makes it so much more fascinating. It makes the storyline that much more sexy. That, and of course, that you've got Jaden Daniels and Brandon Ayuk being best friends and fairly inseparable during the offseason. Next, we'll talk to Scott Pioli, who's made plenty of his own trades in the past. Former GM, a Super Bowl champion with the Patriots, stops by. Grant and Danny, no Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.